Wait, you know what I mean?
It's not often that you have a guy check in a mic by yelling into it at first. So.
it's a little loud.
And it's every episode he hasn't learned yet.
Yeah, no, it's like 5 years, 360 episodes, and Steve just can't figure it out.
He still doesn't know how to check in a mic.
Yeah. Dude, it's a lost cause at this point.
It is.
I'm just thinking.
All right, we're podcasting at the Iowa Deer Classic. Mm-hmm. It is Sunday, and we're just recording our first episode, and not because we're lame. It was super busy here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got Mr. Larry Mack, Lorenzo in the house. And Mr. Christian Costa. This is your first time on the podcast?
First time.
Welcome.
First timer.
Be gentle.
Welcome.
Be gentle.
No, we won't, bro.
You're wearing our merch and Larry's not, so you know who's going to get it this time.
Dude, yeah. No, I walked in here. I was like, my gosh, they're stepping up in the world. They've got at least 5 shirts now, and I don't know how many hats.
High demand. High demand.
We'll sell you a couple of them.
Huh?
We'll sell you a couple of them.
Okay. Hey, I'll trade you one for a cure.
You guys take card?
One no. hat
oh, yeah.
for a cure? Sounds like a good trade.
Yeah. Yeah. Trade.
We'll trade you for a cure.
We're working on WCB vests just for you.
Awesome. We talk about that every time, but there's no follow through.
Yeah,
there.
We've been talking about this for 3 years. It's never happened.
I'm waiting on my WC vet. My WCB vest.
I'm still waiting on an elite vest.
Huh? Maybe get his name put on it too.
Just for I know. Well, we're trying to. We got to get one that's kind of a deep cut because that beard's getting a little long.
Oh man, I'll pull the chest hair out
too. It is thick.
That boy thick. Yeah,
you turn your head and a covey of quail flew out of it.
Dude, when I let that chest hair go, man, that CRP field that's on my chest, man, I'll tell you what, that's that taco meat.
Did you find
boy.
A couple sheds in there?
Yeah. It's my staging area. I find
sheds and like and clip toenails in there. It's nuts.
It's one big south-facing slope. Yeah.
With an awesome Parliament tattoo.
Yeah, it's bad. How's the Elite booth doing?
The Elite booth has been absolutely busy. Ryan's over there manning the trailer. We've got cures over there. We've got the new Ember over there. And, we're wearing that target out right now.
Yeah, I bet, man. I was over there. I shot a few arrows to the cure. And I was watching people's reactions. And it's like, oh, man, I'm about to leave with this right now. Everybody says that after they throw an arrow through it, which is expected after the ritual especially.
I may need to go shoot that ember, actually. I meant to do that. I'm going to do that right after we get done recording.
Yeah, it's totally it's a best-in-class product.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the aluminum limb pockets for at that price point.
Yeah.
Elite done a fantastic job of designing a bow that literally can fit darn near any archer out there.
Right.
At a great price point.
Right. Yeah. Maintain that elite feel.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's big.
I do love how you guys are doing that because for a couple of years, it was always the flagship bows, and that's what everybody wants. And then it started out with the, I believe it was the Enlist,
mm-hmm.
and that became like the bow that was like, hey, hardworking people, sometimes you guys don't want to pay that top dollar for a bow. Well, hey, we got a... Well,
some people don't need to either.
And they don't
need
to.
Right.
Anyway, here's a great bow. It's, doesn't have all the bells and whistles, but it does the job. And you took it to Africa.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you're sticking arrows through... I think
everything.
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 I was like, yeah. So then that the Enlist was a good bow. And we got a buddy that shoots one, and he absolutely loves it. He's like, hey, I wanted to get an elite bow. And he's like, at that price point... for what it was, and he loves it. Shoots every single day.
What's the adjustability on the Ember, though? I can't remember off the top of my head.
The Ember goes from 10 pounds to 60 pounds and 15 inches of draw length to 29 inches of draw length.
So you don't have to change anything to get from 10 to 60 pounds? It's just...
It's all adjustment right there in the bow. has a rotating mod, so yeah, you can change the draw length right there, and bow shoots like a dream.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to end up... cutting a turkey's head off this spring with it.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's gonna happen.
I imagine a lot of guys will have that out for turkey season. We were talking about that. My wife has an elite spirit that we got off Mr. Ross Bigger, I mean, probably 4 years ago, and she shot the heck out of it, but I'm going to bust it out and put the decaps on and try and, slap a turkey upside the face with it. And,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And that's actually a great bow to if the specs fit you as a shooter.
Yeah.
Because the decap, we get a lot of questions asking about shooting the decap. I've shot it for quite some time. Cut a lot of turkeys' heads off with it, and how do I get them to fly? What arrow setups do I need?
Yeah.
If there was any tip that I could give to any of your listeners, if you are having, first thing to try to do is take a turn out of limbs. Lower the poundage a little bit. That's a big head. I mean, literally, I could put that on the back of a boat and probably go catch some crappie.
Because I'm so, right, as a propeller.
Yeah, exactly.
That has been a question coming up, so maybe we can go into a little detail. It's like, hey, I know you guys shot the decaps. Like, I'm shooting my bow at 65 pounds. And well, I learned last year from talking to Ross and Austin, they had a 40-pound Synergy,
mm-hmm.
and I borrowed that because I wasn't going to back my bow off that far. Well, it can't, you know, but yeah, not even thinking about it, I'm like, I'll use my wife's bow. It's a little shorter, but I'm going to practice with it and make sure. If I can't do it, then I'll steal Ross's Synergy.
Now that brings us right into the Cure. Cure is a different animal.
There we go.
Because with the new SET technology, which SET stands for Simplified Exact Tuning, we mm-hmm. talked about, I believe, on the podcast before.
With Darren, yep.
So what you can do there is you can make those adjustments at the pocket with that technology. And regardless of whether you're shooting a 60 to 70-pound bow or whatever, and get the bow shooting the way you want. Right, and without having to go to a bow press, you can just do it right there on the line. And it's absolutely amazing the results you get out of that. Because part of getting a bow to tune or getting is you got to know what it's doing.
Right.
So the response of the bow is absolutely phenomenal. It's got the elite feel with the new ASIM Tri-Track cam. You got a cable on both sides of the cam. Super stable at full draw on the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the SET technology with that, you've got a beast of a bow.
Yeah.
It's absolutely the most adjustable. Has the elite feel. The bow is absolutely amazing. And I don't care what broadhead you want to shoot, but you're going to be able to get them to fly.
It's a huge deal.
That's a big, big deal for guys, especially that guys with less time.
Yeah.
Like guys that are working in long hours and have a family and only get so much time to shoot their bow a week, you know, only so much time to hunt a week. That stuff cuts off a lot and allows them to get out there and, like, you know, no matter what they want to shoot, they can tune up their bow, just learn it a little bit in their backyard, and they got it down.
Well, that helps, too. Like, some people are scared if they have to go to a bow press or something. Oh, yeah. They don't want to learn all that stuff. Now they can do it without a bow press. They can kind of get into it and learn it that way.
It's intimidating a little bit.
It is.
Well, I'm scared of bow press. I just feel like I'm going to detonate a bow.
Yeah, exactly.
I should learn it because I'd love to just be able to tinker,
you know,
in my garage when I'm bored. But, yeah, I mean, Ryan's over there. He's like, hey, what draw length are you? I'm like, I'm 28. He goes, okay. Hurry up. Yeah. Switches everything up. He goes, all right, man, you're good to go.
Yeah, it's like less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Here you go.
Just sitting there. He's sitting in the back of the trailer doing it real quick. And the next guy, hey, what draw length are you? Right there. Adjust draw length. Hands him the bow. They fly three or four arrows through it.
And you got to think that's good for dealers. So if somebody wants to come in and try a bow, it's like, I'm sorry, the bow's not near draw length. I don't want to have to pull the cams off.
That's a good point.
That's a nice little thing, especially for trade shows. Yeah, you can get one bow to get all these draw lengths. It makes it simple.
Yep. Absolutely. At the ATA show this year, we actually had a paper tuning rack there so people could go experience the SET technology, the whole system, and how it works, how easy it is to tune. Nathan Brooks, one of our pro shooters, he was over there, and he was like, every single person, we got a perfect bull hole.
There was even
a lot of instances, it was just shooting a bullet hole, and he's like, well, I got to take it out of tune real quick.
Just to show it.
This is how the bow responds. So
it's like you figured out alien technology, and you're like, bro, we cannot let anybody know about this.
Yeah.
That is cocky. I mean, but that's showing. I mean, your money's where your mouth is, and
you're
here it is.
Up.
This is what it is.
Hey, the proof is there. I'm just saying, you know, go shoot one. That's all we ask.
Because
it's, you know, there's a lot of great bows on the market today, but there's only one that adjusts like that one.
That's right.
That bow, I promise you, it adjusts to the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's got a deep grip, a lot of heel pressure, torques or grip, you can make the adjustment there at the pocket, mm-hmm. not have to put it in a press, shim cams, to get the bow to tune. You can do it right there.
Yeah, you don't leave the line.
Yeah, exactly. Dealers love it because they can get customers shooting very, very rapidly.
Yes.
Right.
So they can spend more time shooting on the range versus sitting there waiting, you know, buying Diet Cokes from their cooler.
Right.
Bro, what's a Diet Coke reference, bro? You know I love Diet Cokes.
I was looking at you when I said that.
you did. He turned right at you and looked at you.
I love Diet Cokes. Hey, if the president can drink 12 Diet Cokes a day, so can I.
Yeah, exactly. Look at Doug. Doug's over there. Look out. Look, he is very intense. He's
zoned.
He's dude, crowd control.
Right. he's like security right
Running
now.
Security over there.
Yeah. Every person that walks by, you going to buy something or not?
He's like, he's interested in that hat, but Larry's not really It needs to move. Just move.
That's funny.
Man. You know, back to the ATA show real quick. I mean, we ran 450 people through that paper tuning rig and a perfect bullet hole for 450 different yes. people. I mean, you know, you think insane. About that.
That says a lot right there.
That's incredible.
You know, that the problem is you're going to start making, like, Bowtex lazy. So you guys are making it so easy.
Bowtex around the country are just getting worse.
Just making them more efficient.
Look at Jersey.
Right, sell more boats.
That's right, a better way to say it.
All the Bowtex are going on strike because you guys are putting them out of work. I remember Dusty Rhodes did a promo about it. That's hard times. A computer's going to take your place. You guys are taking work out of the Bowtex hands, and I'm not happy about it.
The product's too good.
Out there on the picket line.
we're picking an elite. That is something like, you know, obviously everybody wants to do a lot of stuff on their own. Like, everyone wants to watch YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's how
it's
we,
big right now.
That's how we change, like, car parts and stuff. Like, if me and my dad are working on a truck or something, like, we'll go and, like, watch YouTube. And I'm sure it's the way with bow tuning. Guys are doing that.
Yeah. It's with everything now.
Yeah, and that's where it has to go. You know, you never want to completely not take your bow into a, you know, authorized dealer, someone who knows exactly what they're doing. But it's just... It is that really nice that we touched on it earlier, where guys are just they want a product where they don't have to, they can get it shipped to their house, pick it up, tune it themselves. They don't have to talk to anybody, and I think that's a really nice thing, because some people don't want to have to deal with it or wait 3-4 days, and maybe something isn't right when it comes back from the dealer. So then you're like, all right, well, I want to try something else.
Well, yeah, exactly. I want to clarify real quick, Larry. Sorry to jump on you, but, you know, not surprisingly, we have to correct Steve.
Oh, jeez.
Not getting it shipped to the house, right? Oh. Very, very important. We're shipping it to the dealer. We're keeping that dealer involved in the process. That's very, very important. We love our dealers. We want our dealers involved in that process. Now, here's the thing that I will tell all of your listeners. Don't forget about the knowledge behind the counter at your local archery shop.
Yeah.
Right? Those guys see a ton of stuff. Those guys are experiencing a ton of stuff. Get in there. Talk to those guys. There is so much knowledge locked up in their heads that if you just talk to them, you're going to learn so much. And now when you go home and you're standing on the line, you're shooting in the backyard, and you're tweaking a little bit or changing a little bit, you've got some foundation to work from.
Right. Yep. See, Thank you for making that point. Steve's an idiot and will ramble off and make light of things at times. And that's why...
you're the chocolate to my milk. We make a perfect combination. I
got you.
Chocolate to my milk.
That's
you're
weird.
The chocolate to my milk.
I
feel good
up?
About being chocolate. I'm not really liking the reference to Steve's milk.
Hey, we'll just mix it together and it'll be
just
all right.
Stay away from that downhill slope. Or that south-facing slope.
Yeah, that's right.
I am glad you brought that up, because not to say that, you know, like, dealers aren't important. They very much are. The way that you guys work with dealers is awesome, too, because, you know, you guys aren't putting the bows in big box stores. You want to put them in places that, you know, if someone has a technical question or they need something done, they're not just going to, like, the big box store. Nothing's wrong with that either. Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not trying to knock it, but, like, you guys only work with people who know the product and can get the product best
suited for the
individual.
Yep.
The one thing, too, is we just added and really strengthened the relationship with the dealer with this new line of bows because of this technology. Because now they don't have to go in and stock, you know, a bunch of different modules for different draw
lengths
and do that. They can carry these bows, change the draw lengths to the customers. They can make the adjustments right there. And like I said, it's a boost of confidence for the average archer to go there. And a dealer can set their bow up in 15 minutes versus 2 hours.
That's right.
Yeah. What was the dealer's responses when they got these in their hands? Were they loving it?
Oh, yeah. They're absolutely loving it. They're setting up super easy. Because here's one scenario that if you're a bow hunter, which most likely you are if you're listening to this, have you ever shot a broadhead and it not fly like your field point?
Almost everybody has.
I don't care what brand it is. I mean, yeah, obviously we shoot Slick Trick, but this is a fix for that. Mm-hmm. I have literally tested not just Slick Trick broadheads, a lot of different broadheads out there using the set technology. The bow is tuned, and you can literally broadhead tune your bow on the line and out to 50, 60 yards and just watch it react, respond, and watch your field tip.
That's super exciting.
Just walk right into each other.
That opens up a ton of opportunity for guys that are wanting to experiment with different heads, because I mean, I'm telling you, like, maybe once a day we get a message on our arrow setups and broadhead setups and weights and all that stuff. hey, I these aren't flying how I want. Like, what do you guys use? And, you know, I'm Slick Tricks. We're doing the Raptor Tricks and the Viper Tricks, which were, have both been awesome. And I think I'm going to shoot Viper Tricks this year. And I feel like, did I mess name up on the fixed blades?
No.
No, I don't
want Viper Trick. Perfect.
Yeah. I shot those when I went elk hunting and tore everything up that I shot that year with whitetails. But I think I'm going to shoot that again this year to go back. I shot the Raptor Tricks this year and tore everything up. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. Not that it was a big issue before, but it was always kind of like, oh, let's see how these fly. Oh, man, I'm in my yard. I get anxiety, archery anxiety a lot of times. I overthink things, and I get in my own head, which is, I don't know if that's common or not.
To it's very common.
It eats me alive. But now it's like you can kind of rest easier knowing that you can figure it out. It's just going to be easier
in your backyard, you know?
Yep. Right. Yeah, in your backyard. You don't have to.
Well, you think about it, right? I mean, the Slick Trick lineup, we go from the standard, which is, an inch cutter, inch and
1 inch cutting diameter, 2 inches of cutting surface.
All the way up to the Wicked Trick or the Grizz Trick, you know?
That thing's sick.
Big differences in those heads, and now you, like you said, you can experiment with it.
Right.
Figure out what it is that works for you, and
for sure,
you know, have a lot of confidence when you stick those in your quiver and you're going to go out west, you're going to go on an antelope hunt again or whatever.
Oh, man.
Right? They're going to fly the way you want them to.
You know what? I'm one of those guys. Like, I don't, like, I trust in the Slick Trick, but because I've shot them for about 3 years now and have had great luck with them. Like, insane. So I make sure
I've blood trailed some deer with Steve. Because let's be honest, it's a good time to get to it. You're a new-ish hunter. Now you got some years under your belt. But when you started, it was like, hey, man, I want to make sure you recover your deer. Call me. I'll come out and help you blood trail. And, you know, I don't know what was going on for a few of those, but I'm nervous. You finally get your window of opportunity. It takes experience to kind of learn how to hold your shit together when you shoot. So sometimes a shot a little further back, a little high, a little low, or whatever.
It happens.
Yeah. It happens to everybody. I'm telling you, man.
It still happens.
Remember your first deer I helped you? And I'm like, well, man, you got lucky on this one.
Because I shot this deer, like, the wind moved, and, like, I put a bad shot. Like, the wind was moving. She spooked. It was a doe. She spooked. And then, like, I was letting the shot go, and me and Kurt go and find this deer. And he's like, what? You got this? What broadheads you shoot? I go, dude, I'm shooting the Raptor Tricks. He goes, I'm buying some of those. And he was like, sunk there. And then so the doe I shot this year, I'll show you a video of it. The blood is insane. Like, you know, everybody talks about, our buddy Mark Reif said, you know, it's like, taking paint, dude, it was just bloody. It was a bloody mess.
Did you guys see Mark Reif's buck video with that deer that ran on the county road?
Yep. Yeah.
That was a Slick Trick.
Yeah.
And I posted that video, and he's walking for, hold on a sec. We'll plug a commercial in right here.
I was hoping they're like Larry McCoy.
Late for a seminar.
Yeah. My seminar's at 2.
What's it about?
Whitetail strategy and setup.
Oh, I might have to actually just go sit in and learn.
Yeah, you better. and leave your phone here at the booth so you can pay attention. Yeah. Where was I going with that? Oh, Mark's video. His buck, we did a podcast a few episodes ago. It ran across a county road, you know, white gravel.
Yeah.
And you can see the blood trail. Did you listen to that one yet? He said a neighbor was driving on the county road and goes, somebody got one. See the blood down the county road. It died in the ditch. He went and got it and was like, holy shit, good thing a car didn't drive by and see it and someone grabbed the buck or something crazy, you know? But
yeah, it was a stud.
Yeah, Ryan texted me right after that. He's like, I need that video right now to promote it.
Did you get it to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So I'm telling you, I shot that 10-year-old doe a couple years ago. Craziest blood trail I've ever had, you know.
Right.
It's reassuring. Well, I mean, I shot my first antelope this year with the Raptor Trick and rolled him.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's
just
awesome.
Rolled him. So,
yeah. But that's what's good about, you know, like I said, for bow hunter, we know everybody out there don't shoot Slick Tricks.
Right.
You know, we've had positive experiences with it. You know, you're not going to experience that if you don't try one.
Yeah, right.
I guess
right,
so
for sure.
And if you're not shooting a Slick Trick, like I said, just put it with the new Elite Cure. I don't care what broadhead it is, you're gonna be able to get it too.
Well, the thing too, going back to like the tunability of that, is I like to shoot longer distance. Not that I always am going to shoot a long distance at an animal, but it's fun. I just like watching the curve of the arrow and just launching like 80-90-100 yards. It's just kind of like a magical thing.
Absolutely. If even for anybody out there, if you're if you don't shoot long range, you need to practice at long range.
Yeah.
Because 100%. It's going to make you shooting up close a lot better. Your sight picture is going to open right. up, you know, when you get there.
It really shows errors in your form.
Exactly.
Sure.
Which is, in turn, goes back to the tunability of that bow. If, you know, if I have an antelope hunt coming up like I did last summer and practice at 90 yards, that really gets you shooting right real quick, shooting distances that far. Because if you're off a little bit at 20, at 100, you're going to be way the hell off. That's so right.
And people don't realize how long that arrow is actually in the air at 100 yards.
Oh, man. You can think about it for a second, and then it hits right. the target.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yep. Absolutely. Crazy. Absolutely. You know, if you visualize this, if you're off an inch to or inch to the right at 20 yards, and you back up to 50 yards, you're going to be 6 inches to the right.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to continue to climb. So you're going to literally see that compound as you move back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get it dialed in as close as possible. Work on your form at that long range. Then move up and shoot 30, 20,
right.
you know, 40 yards after you've – because if you can imagine looking at that dot at 60 yards, it looks like a little bitty dot. You know, you can bring your pins covering it all up.
Yeah.
At 20 yards, it looks like a basketball.
That's right.
That,
right.
You know?
Yep.
So you can really pick a spot and you know, it's
there.
Peace of mind, yeah. exactly, because mm-hmm. confidence is everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Larry was really the first guy to tell me to do that, and it's a little intimidating shooting out at that at long distance, you know, 60, 80, 90 yards.
Especially if your buddies are around.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
You know, and you send a couple into the dirt, and you send a couple over the target, and you know, hopefully don't hit the house. But, you know, you're exactly right. You practice out there. You're not exactly sure where your pin is on the target because your pin's covering that dot.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you move up to 20, and you're like, holy cow.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I've got all kinds of room here.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're going to shoot those distances, our buddy Gene, it was the only smart one about this. Like, when we first started having a shoot, he brought his metal detector out, so you can go find the arrows that he missed.
Yeah, because at the shoot, we have to do some long-distance shoots just for fun, like we encourage people to get out of their comfort zone. But, that, you know, Christian, what you said, that's what's fun to me about shooting long distance, because I remember putting them in the dirt all the time and kind of like not feeling confident in my archery game. But as I progressed as a hunter and my interest and love for archery grew, mm-hmm. and then you know you get that, and then all of a sudden you're putting four arrows into a 2-inch dot at 60,
yep.
and it just makes you feel like I've really come a long way, and I'm honing in, and then now going back to the 80, 90, 100, just shooting with your boys and making little side bets right. and having a good time.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's
or
awesome.
Like Steven getting drunk and then calling out like Darren Christian.
Yeah.
You know, challenge
you know,
Darren.
Definitely calling out outside of his league a little bit better.
Yeah, a little
like,
bit?
It's like, bro, it's like when you like you go on like a really hot chick's Instagram and put hi, or like, dude, I'm like in her I'm in her DMs. That's what he's trying to call it. That's what he's trying to call it, Darren. I'm way out of my league.
Hey, did you guys hear about the turtle bet with Steve? And we've talked about it a lot on the podcast. He has a pet turtle, right? So he made a bet with me back in August at a show, a trade show podcast, just like this, over the speaker like this is, so everyone could hear it.
Yeah, so I was a little nervous about what I'd say on this one.
Yeah, he basically said, Kurt, I bet you I kill a bigger buck than you this year. And I said, okay, if you don't, we get to eat your turtle.
He immediately went there. Like, he had been thinking about it.
And
savage.
So I went for it. You know, if you want to call me out outside your league, let's do this, you know. And Steve didn't succeed. So I think what we need to do is at the shoot, if you guys make it out or whoever from Outdoor Group comes out, if you can beat them in like a 5-arrow, 90-yard, 100-yard, whatever
yard
shoot-off.
They're going to bring Nathan Brooks. You know that's probably going to happen.
Hey, call your shot. Then we'll save your turtle.
What if?
If not, I'll have the can cooker sitting there boiling.
Boiling.
Ready.
Yeah. But what if? What if, like, all of a sudden Steve just goes on a tear?
What if the cure just made you the best archer
in the
imagine
world.
This, dude. And
that's
I'm
a
just,
possibility.
It could happen.
It's a possibility.
Dude, and I'm just, I'm like laying him in. And even Nathan's sitting there. He's like,
doubt
dude,
it.
Tommy Gomez is there, too. This is the, this is what it's in my head. And they're both just watching me like, damn, dude. And like, man, Steve's like really putting on for the team to save his turtle. It's like, damn, he really turned it. And then the last shot, biff it. It's like, all right, get the ball peen hammer, crack that shell.
Crack that
Whoa,
shell.
Just had an amazing
fire,
run, man.
Yeah, fire up the can cooker.
It's so funny.
He just looks at me and just goes,
wrap it up.
Fire it up.
Come on.
That is a, you know what a dream of mine is? And we talk about this. I just want to go down to either Foley or Metropolis and just – either shoot beside Darren or just film him. Like, he's my hero. I don't know if he, I said that a bunch.
Yeah.
But I would
love
it'd
be fun just to shoot a course with him.
I would love to just watch a guy shoot. Just the way that, you know, he's talked about.
I don't know if he'd want you next to him.
Probably not.
While he's trying to shoot. And
I would not think so. He just the way that, like, you know, we were talking, we've had him on the podcast a couple of times, is how he can judge distances without.
Yeah, throw a basketball out and judge the distance.
Exactly. And that is insane.
These guys are machines with that stuff. And I don't have the brain power to figure that stuff out. Dude, I mean, these guys are unbelievable.
Because it's to the yard.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Kid.
You know, actually,
he'll T-bone. Be like 34 and a half yards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you go 36 on a 33-yard target, that could be your livelihood.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Exactly. That's the difference in the money and not in the money a lot of times. So. Yep.
Right, the $30,000 arrow.
Yeah, pretty much. Could be.
So, for sure. We brought up the shoot. I want to go on record here.
Yeah, okay.
And I want to see some photos. I expect there to be a working class bow hunter championship belt.
Oh, okay.
At the shoot.
Oh, he's calling us out.
Okay.
All right.
I'm on record.
All right.
I want to see it.
Okay.
The highest see the title of the belt.
Dude, he's like, I got this. Ain't no big deal. Did he just say championship belt?
All right. Shoot, I like that.
I need to get a WCB Ric Flair style robe. Actually, I want to get like a Ric Flair robe that's like all frilly, but like in camo, and just hunting it, dude. If I like, what if I smoked a monster with like a Ric Flair camo robe?
We can.
My life would be.
We can definitely
amazing.
Make something up. We need to. It would be out of character for us not to do that.
Right.
So, you got to stay true.
Yeah,
you can have custom ones made.
Oh, yeah. There's companies that'll make you a legit one. Like, I think you pay for them.
Steve's probably got some connections there. I think Steve can make this
legitimately
happen.
Legitimately, I do, yeah.
We'll see if he actually does. He's putting on for the podcast.
Oh, right. Steve, listen, man. You've got your podcasting career on the line here. What's your pet turtle's name?
Shut up. We're not naming
it's
him.
Meatball.
It's Meatball.
Meatball.
Meatball?
Yeah.
Tony the Meatball is his Christian
meatball.
Name.
It's Tony Christian. The Meatball
Tony
is
the meatball.
His Christian name. Yeah. You got a lot on the line, Steve. You got a lot riding on this. You got to follow through.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
I'm thinking turtle tacos.
Oh, yeah. Hey. We do that.
Yeah. Hey, you can call me a pressure cooker.
You can get
cooker.
Some of those street tacos because he ain't very big.
Walking turtle tacos?
We got a couple of bags of Doritos.
Yeah, a couple of bags of Doritos or Fritos.
Dispersing out a little bit.
Yeah. It's like, bro, what the hell is that? Is that toothpick? No, it's a turtle backstrap, boy.
Every time I've eaten that, I mean, I look in the mirror. I go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, I'm like, what the hell is all over my face?
Right.
It's like I got Dorito cheese on the tip of my nose.
I found a picture on Google the other couple weeks ago, and it was just a turtle in between two pieces of bread and a piece of lettuce. I sent it to Steve. I'm like, I'm coming for him.
And I hated to make Eric feel. I'm like, Eric, that's a tortoise. Okay, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Well, for the record,
that's
too,
a terrapin.
People come by the booth at the show and be like, hey, I know you guys really aren't going to kill Steve's turtle. And, you know, I heard it and I thought it was funny, but I knew you guys weren't actually going to do it. And then Eric's like, oh, no, that thing's dying.
I'm eating that thing.
I had to tell him, I was like, man, you guys don't know these people. Like, I know these people.
This isn't a game. We're committed to this. We're committed to our brand.
No game. Say no game. Ain't no games.
Hey, Steve, your problem, when you made that bet with me, you didn't respect the game.
That's right.
Oh.
Damn.
Mike dropped. He dropped it.
Dude, I loved it. The best moment of the show is right now.
Thank you, Larry.
That was great.
Hey, respect the game.
Respect the
you
game.
Didn't.
RTG,
exactly
man.
Right. You didn't respect the player or the game. I was a player.
Oh, you were the player. I'm that guy. I was that guy. Yeah. He didn't respect me at all. Yeah. He didn't put no respect on my name.
Yeah, right. Man, so wrapping up, the Cure. So in my eyes, Elite has done some iconic bows over the years. Mm-hmm. It might just be because you guys have a soft spot in my heart. It's got me. The Synergy, to me, or actually all the Energy series. I say this almost every time you're on the show because I think it's cool. Like, see just the history and the lineup mm-hmm. and the evolution of all the bows. The Cure is probably going to be one of those bows, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Here's the thing, too, and you bring up a good point, and we actually talked about this, looking at all the bows that are offered. Like I said, there's a lot of great bows offered on the market.
Mm-hmm.
2014 was a staple year for Elite Archery.
Yeah.
It was a staple year. Elite set the standard. Literally set the standard on the way all bows feel today.
Yep. I would agree
and
that
is a
100%.
Fact. Yeah. People, that is a fact. So if somebody shoots, I'm not dogging on any other brands, but I'm saying that feel is the reason why a lot of bows feel the way they do today.
Yeah. It's just what it is.
So it is. Yeah. You know, that smooth, high let off, you know, comfortable bow to shoot. And there's a lot of bows out there like that. Yeah. But the Cure and this new lineup has got the best technology, I can tell you right now. And there's nothing against the two-track system we had.
Yeah.
We were – it's awesome. It's a great – still a great system.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the step up, it's the future changer. Of archery, because, I mean, what somebody can do at the line by with the cure, the broadhead adjust, you know, all the broadhead tuning, and then paper tuning, bear shaft tuning, however you want to set your bow up to make sure it's tuned, you can do that. With this new technology.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it out, man, and get shooting it all summer and getting ready to rock, and I'm ready to go. I'm a little sad. I love my Ritual 35. I every bow I have, I'm sentimental, man. I'm a weirdo, but I can't be sentimental with all my bows, because what am I going to do, like frame them all, you know?
I was going to bring
it
up.
He takes his deer mounts down and just puts bows
up.
Bows
like, up instead.
Like athletes like frame their jerseys. Like, that's kind of how I feel a little bit, you know? So
I miss I loved the Impulse 34, though. That was my favorite bow I've ever shot. And I think I just had a special place in my heart because I got it all black. And that's one that I would retire. I want to hang up in the rafters and retire that bow and just look at it. I'm like, man, I remember all the good times.
Yeah.
Great bow. The Impulse 34 is a great bow. And then, from every year we talk about this, you're always like, hey, we got something new. I'm like, all right, let's try it. We shoot at ATA. And then, like, we'll be shooting and we'll look at each other. What do you think? It's like, well, I'm in love with this bow.
Yep. Every year. Yeah. Every year.
It's awesome, man. You guys
are
killing it.
That's your so you go up there, your Impulse, black Impulse 34 up in the rafters, listen to Lionel Richie.
Hey.
We'll have to put his turtle shell up in the rafters. Exactly. All the good times I had.
We'll hang it from a string from the Impulse 34.
Are you doing the Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling?
The two things that mean so much.
His turtle shell.
My Impulse 34 in the shell. It's like, man, what a great time. I don't know why I'm looking way up there. Like, you know, I'm going to be in my parents' basement, so it's not that high up of a look.
Yeah. Hey, and I have to say this, Eric. He's rocking a full beard now. So I got to come up with another name for him. Dumas Walker.
Dumas Walker got retired.
Dumas Walker got retired.
He got retired.
The mutton chops are going up in the rafters too.
You don't know how many Snapchats I got of that episode on Respect the Game of just my face with giant chops.
Man, we still get screenshots sent to us on Instagram of like, hey, watching the episode and there's Eric.
On the Respect the Game YouTube channel, man, it rolls. We get a lot of views and questions about that as well.
It's a bold move.
Dude, he's got some chops.
He's got a mullet now too, so you need to bring the chops. And
the funny
back.
Thing is, I didn't even tell these guys I was doing it. I just showed up in camp and I had full chops.
What did I say? As soon as he got out, I was like, "Let's all go down to Dumas Walker." He's like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
I didn't even know what the song was, and they were singing it all weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everybody starts singing in camp.
Dude, if we go on a hunt this fall, you got to do it again. Just start growing it now.
Oh, yeah. I grew that beard out for like 6 months, and I just shaved the center out.
Do it again.
Oh,
it was good luck, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was bad luck, but then it was good luck.
Yeah.
We won't go into that.
Sorry.
You had to bring it up, didn't you?
It happens to all of us, man.
Yeah, if he wasn't, I was going to. I was just
saying. Well, I said it was good luck, but hey, make your own luck.
That's right. Okay. Hey, there you go.
Right, right.
I'll redeem myself.
Well, hey, you
know
what?
If you got bad luck, I know there is a cure for that.
Damn, there the puns. The puns are endless.
There you go.
Was that a good result?
He's all over. We will end on that note.
Yeah. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate the partnership. Looking forward to this year. It's going to be a damn good time.
Hey, thanks for having us all. It's always a blast. Yeah.
Thanks, fellas.
Absolutely.
All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.